I do know who you are. I do know what I want. We have a very particular set of skills. Skills we've acquired over a certain amount of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. So I will find you, and I will interview you for the Gaffer Tapes.
State your name and record.
Dean Brennan, ex-manager of Hemel, Billericay, Kingstownian, and now current manager of Willesden.
And you did, you were keen to mention that's not where it started really, aren't you?
Yeah, years ago I sort of knew I wanted to be a manager when I was a player. I was always quite influential and changing, you managed me, you know what I was like, I was a big character. Mm. I knew I wanted to be a manager, but speaking in front of a group was always a bit nervy, you know what I mean? You have to stand up in front of the group. So what I did, I managed a Sunday team called Houghton FC. Or FC Houghton.
Where were you playing when you were doing that?
I would have been at Chesham and places like that. So I was about 27, 28 at that stage. I'm now 29, going on 40. So I, just to speak in front of people and get confidence. So I managed a Sunday team. A lot of the lads, it was great crack. And we won the league. And so. But it just gave me that confidence of speaking in front of the group, which I think is very important.
Yeah, it is. And even, especially with our accents, well, you know, mine's better than yours, but you know, and I think I always say at the start of this, I haven't sort of planned to, whether we know each other or we don't know each other, and the whole world knows we've known each other a long time and get on well. So I always put that out of the way so people know what the relationship is. I think that's important because the last interview I did was with Ian Everett and I'd never met him. So it can be a different interview, and we've spoke many, many times about many, many things, you know. But I'm always keen. You see, when you say you knew you were always going to be a manager, I never seen that. I seen you as a real influential guy within the dressing room, and a guy who sort of cared about it when he was on the pitch, albeit you had a poor time at Wimbledon with injury. But I never ever seen you in the light of management until you became a manager, and then it was like, wow, this guy's obviously on a. Knows what he's doing and is on a mission, you know. So you go back to the Sunday stuff, you do that while you started playing. Had you started to feel like it was coming to the end of the road as a player when you did that?
Yeah, I never looked after myself as a player. I was poor, my preparation was really poor. I was a poor pro, to be honest with you. But tactically, I always wanted to know about the game. I liked coaching.
Yeah, well, let's go. You know, we've tons of time with this. Yeah. Well, we'll tell the people what time it is when we finish, but you know, I'm keen to that because I was similar, but it's not about me. When you say you were poor as a pro, tell me.
Well, I didn't live my life right.
Well, tell me about it.
So I drank too much. That was definitely something I did. I didn't give myself the best opportunity. When I had good spells, I was really fit. I could have been fitter. I could have lived my life better. And I didn't. I suppose maybe I was getting the back end of the old culture.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't change because it gives you character. I think the players are different now. I mean, can't really say anything to the players, to be honest with you. You just got to keep encouraging them. They're just brought up in a total different way. It's funny enough, I was with Mark Bright a few weeks ago at Crystal Palace,
yeah,
watching a 23s game, and he was telling me about the lads. I asked him about his era. He's just before my era. So, and about what's changed, he said things are more direct. And he said players, when he played, worked more on that game. Because of sports science now, the injury prevention, you don't get to work as hard at your game.
Yeah.
It's more about conditioning and stuff like that. So, but as a player, I had ability, as you know.
Yep.
Both footed, I was one paced, but I had to play with my brain. And I just didn't live it right, Dave. I did, like, I would go out on a Friday and stuff like that. And I would go out on a Friday.
Regrets about that, Dean?
No regrets, because what it's done in management, it's made me, I do a proper management. I leave no stone unturned. And that's why we win games of football, and we've been quite successful. For 8 years I'm doing it now, so it's my eighth season. And Stuart and myself have been really successful within them 8 years. We've been lucky to get the Wheelstone job. We were lucky to get an opportunity. You need a bit of luck at Hemel. Oh,
everywhere.
And we took Hemel from, you know, relegation team into winning a title and promotion and then into a playoff team in the National League South.
Yeah, and listen, this will be the problem here is shutting you up so I can get a question in. But I don't mean I'm a couple of things here. Let's talk about staff, you know, because I think, you know, successful managers do it different ways. You know, Ian Everett said to me, he interviewed for his assistant, which I'd never heard of. And I thought, but you haven't. You and Stu go back a long time, Stuart Maynard. And you're a double act, really. People would look up within the dressing room, within football, we look upon you both as a double act. Tell me a little bit about that relationship, where it came from.
It was funny, I was playing for Hitchin last game of the season at Enfield, when Enfield ground shared at Boreham Wood. And I was playing against this little fella in midfield. Now, funny enough, I'll tell you the real story. We won 7-0 and I scored a hat-trick. But he was good. So on the pitch at half-time, I said to him, what are you doing here? These are rubbish. Come join us. So I tapped into him. That's what I'd be like. I'd be tapping into other players. If you ask Mark Stimson, I must have gotten about 6 players at Grays. You know, when I played for him, when we were at Grays. Yeah. So I tapped into him. Got his number after the game. And from there, we become a friendship. He joined in the summer. He come to Hitchin in the summer. I ended up going on. Hitchin sold me to Stevenage. I went back into the pro game, into the full-time game, and Stu stayed there. But we stayed friends, and I liked him. I liked the way he played football. He was a good player, real good brain. And then we just walked from there. We both said, we'd get into management. You know what I mean? We always said we'd get it. We'd always talk tactically about his game on the Saturday. I'd talk about our game tactically and, you know, what was the game like. And he just loved football. Both of us just love football, if I'm being honest. I watch any game of football. But this week I've been out. Stu's been out. I think we've been out 4 times this week watching games. Stu was out last night. He went to watch a game last night. Watford Everton on the 23s. I went Tottenham Wednesday, first team. Monday, I was at Chelmsford. And Tuesday, I went Dorking where Stu took training. So scouting's a big thing for us. Recruitment, we feel, is the key to the business.
Yeah, that's come up time and time again, Dean, you know, which tells me you haven't listened to any, and I'm disappointed. No, I'm only joking. You know, you see, it's one thing. I wouldn't say I was brilliant at identifying players. John Turner, my assistant, did that. But is that something you obviously had that in your makeup, that you've seen a player, even if you were playing against them?
Yeah, I love finding, like the kid Mendy here, Jacob Mendy. I see him at Carshorton on a horrible wintry night, play left back. And he was at Carshorton on a Monday night last season. And I see him again at the back end of the season. I liked him a lot. I see him play high wide. I thought, he's reliable, looks after the ball. He's come here. You know, we've got him on a very cheap deal. You know, you probably won't want me saying that. But he'll get rewarded with a new contract in the summer. He definitely deserves it. He's been outstanding this year. But I like finding a player like that and developing them. And we did that with Ollie Hawkins at Hemel.
Yeah.
It took about 8 months to sign Ollie Hawkins. Yeah. You know, now he's a league one player.
Yeah.
I think he's a championship player.
You always said to me about him, I always remember when I took him to Harrow, because I wanted to sign him, and you went, nah, you've no chance. Yeah. And your words were, if the penny drops with this kid, he's a chance, and it obviously did. But you'd seen that, the penny had dropped with you.
I'll tell you.
Is Stuart the same? Is he very much the same with you?
Ollie was, when we see Hawks, Norwood against Slough, it was a Monday night game again, lashing rain, horrible. He was on the bench. He was taking penalties with his mates messing about. He come off the bench and changed the whole game. He bullied him. He played on the angle. I thought he was intelligent. He was a little bit sloppy with his back to goal play, but I looked at him and thought, he can run, and he's outstanding in the air.
Big lad.
And he's a great kid. And took us from that day, we got his number. We contacted him for 8 months to get him away from his mates. He didn't want to leave because there was a card school. And I'm saying to him, look, listen, come on, son, come and join us. And he was sort of a bench player for us. He'd start on the muddy pitches. But I said to him, next year, I'll build a whole team around you, which I did. The worst thing I did there, which I'd never do again, I sold him to Dagenham in January. I think we were fourth at the time at Hemel, and we were flying. So we were on for the title charge that year. Yeah. And we missed out in the playoffs by a point.
And that was him.
When he left, we didn't win for 7 games. So I had senior players in the change room, Jamie Slabber, people like that.
Yeah.
When they see that I sold them, or we sold them as a football club, they didn't think we were serious about getting promoted. And I wouldn't make that
point. Yeah.
And they loved Hawks, you know. Slabs played the front of them. Yeah. Play off him, and Hawks would do all his work, and Slabs would guide him.
And just going into that, you know, now you're at Hamill, it sort of comes in easy that, you know, your first manager's job, how did that come about, Dino?
I was selling wine, and Dave's a publican, and he was one of my punters, and he kept saying to me, come take the team. They were really struggling, and I said, I was playing at Dunstable, assistant manager at Dunstable, and I stayed loyal to him. I said, look, chatty in the summer, and in the summer, had a big chat with Dave, and then sort of got the job. He was to and fro, and I think Andy Lees was in for the job, and one or two others, and Gary McCann was in for it, I know that.
Yeah.
It was me, Andy Lees, and Gary McCann, but in the end, he went with me, and it was worked out brilliant for both parties.
And because, well, obviously, he's a fellow countryman, so maybe that's a benefit of Ben. I remember I met with him, I'm going to say, a couple of years before that. And I didn't have the same feeling as you did. And I'm sure he was the same because he never gave me the job. But I think about him, and I don't think, if I'm being bluntly honest, He loves his football club. I would never, ever take that away. You only have to go there to see what he's like. But wouldn't... I've wrote down the one thing I wrote on the page, and I showed you before I started, is chairman. Because you've had Rio, you've had Dave, you've had Glenn. You know, the Kingston we'll get on to. You're only there for a fortnight, but we'll get on to it. But talk me through the relationship. How do you make... Because Dave, although he loves his club, can be awkward, Dean, you know?
Yeah, well, I think because he's quite intimidating, Dave, to the general person. You know, he's quite well built in. You know, yeah. He's got his hair and he's got his rings and, you know what I mean? But I know people like Dave, you know what I mean? From the same neck of the woods. And I thought Dave was very fair at times. Listen, we did have Barney's. So I remember once he didn't speak to me for about 3 months.
What, do you remember what it was about?
Probably about signing players. Probably he hated loan players. He never liked, he wanted our own players and stuff like that. He always wanted that. And he liked young players. But we did a lot there, you know. We had a lot of success.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And he was, I thought he was fair the majority of the time. But I learned a lot from Dave. You know, he skilled me as well. We had a great relationship. His wife, Emily, lovely lady. They were brilliant to me. You know, when I look back at it, he was brilliant to me. He really gave me a good opportunity. And there was one sticky spell. We had a real sticky spell where I recruited poorly in the summer. And I had to change the whole team. Had to change literally the whole squad, the whole team, well, the majority of it. And he stuck by me. And he grabbed me and he said, listen, you've had a bad summer. It's the way it goes. It's sort of October time. You'll rectify it. And I'll never forget that because...
Oh, that's big. You see, that's probably something... Head. Yeah, that's something that will come out that... Not, well, I certainly didn't know and people wouldn't think about him, you know. Although he doesn't tend to go through managers that quickly, you know, but... So when you're working with him, you're obviously stretching a piece of elastic, aren't you? Because what you did with him, oh, tell him. So when you went in, where were they? Where were they?
They got reprieve in the Southern Premier. They got reprieve in that. And then we got them into the playoffs in the first year, lost on penalties in the final. And then the next year, we won it. We won it, record-breaking goals, clean sheets, everything. And we unbelievable. And we did that on a very limited budget. We did that on £2,150.
Wow.
So that was unbelievable what we did.
But how do you sell that now?
Look, to be honest, I think Dave gave me the opportunity because I did it for 150 quid a week in the first year. You know, I dropped everything. I dropped my business. I dropped everything because I thought, if you don't get this right, you know what I mean, you're out straight away. So I literally, yeah, I did it for buttons. And then he rewarded me. I got a new deal, a better deal. I was there for 6.5 years.
Yeah, but how do you sell it to players who are coming in?
Oh, the players? The way we played, philosophy. You see how we play, Dave. We play on the front foot. We try to run on top of you from the front. We try to overload you in high and wide areas. And I always said I'd build a team, not like myself. I hate playing against people that could run and play. So our teams are built to run, first and foremost, and then play.
I've actually, you've answered the question, because you were seeing you looking at my paperwork. I've just wrote down where did that come from? Is that so? Because going back to like the different managers I've interviewed, it's funny that their teams don't always reflect what they were as players. In Evett centre half, you know, Gary McCann goalkeeper, you know what I mean. And you watch them, and their teams are totally different. And I've been fortunate enough to witness a few games here this year. Bath being the example, first v second, and it was extraordinary. I was stunned after the game. And you are where you are now. You're a recognised name. But when you were at Hemel, was that always the ethos? Was that always that was always where you were going with it?
Yeah, just the way we played, we're hard to play against. There's nothing worse than playing against someone that's going to run on top of you. You know, and what I tried to do was people like Billy Clifford, I said to Billy, and Greeny, I said to both of them in the summer, both of them are ability players. They can run. It's just that sometimes they choose not to. I said, the harder you run, the easier the game's going to be for you, the fitter you are. You know, there's a time to have a good time, which we do with this football club. We enjoy a little karaoke and stuff like that. We've got great team spirit. But if they play well, we play well. So people, I said to Billy, look, don't let yourself fade away out of the game and everyone say, oh, you're overweight, and you're this, you're lazy. You're known as lazy. But he's not lazy. He's such an intelligent player. It's just getting fit.
But, you know, you have to build a relationship before you deliver that line.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just walk in the door. You know, that's, you've built the relationship and then delivered the line, haven't you?
Yeah, we'd usually do it over a beer, to be honest with you. Yeah. That's how I like to do it. Yeah, have a little drink with the lads. The lads like a drink. Some of them don't, but that's how I like to do it, face to face, have a chat with them properly. And you know, I believe in them. That's the key. I believe in all these players. Every player we signed at Willesden this year is low stock. Every one had poor seasons last year. We didn't go out and sign top goal scorer in the National League South last year, or the National League, or the Ryman Prem. we got poor stock, but players I knew I'd worked with before. And what Billericay allowed me to do was understand the market better, because I just knew it Hemel. You know,
that price range.
Yeah, so you know, so I'll be walking in around £250-£300 a week. When I went to Billericay, all of a sudden, lads are on £2,000 a week, £1,500 a week. But allowed me to understand. But then I got personal relationships with them as the manager, and they were telling me then the previous club they were only on £400 a week. So I sort of started knowing the market. And then when I speak to other managers, they tell me he's only on £400 with me. So I'd understand what everyone's on. So then I could. Like, we all know the budget here is not great. Everyone, it's well documented that it's not. But if you get a lot of lads working hard together and buying into your ethos and your beliefs, you can have a decent season.
So again, it comes back to the recruitment. Recruitment, time spent watching. Yeah. And I suppose the other thing that's come up, Dino, is that in this series is managers are very aware of people's personalities now, you know. So not just a good player, good person. Would you take a bad egg? Would you try and change
him? I've shipped out players pretty quickly if they don't integrate into the group. It's important they integrate into the group, because the team's the most important thing. It's not about me, it's about the team. It's about the group. And a few players have gone from this club because I felt they were on the periphery of the group and they weren't good for the group. You know, so the main thing is the team. It'll always be the team. For the team to improve, we have to make sure everyone's in it together, and that's the chairman, everybody. You know, Thursday night we went out after training. We all went for a meal, about 8 of the lads, all the staff. You know, we had a nice little meal and a few drinks on Thursday night. People think that's mad, but I think that's camaraderie. I think that's togetherness at this level.
Yeah, you don't need to sell it to me either, though.
Yeah, well, what I learned it from you. If I'm being honest, I learned that. I went long from Stevenage to Hendon when you were the manager of Hendon. And I didn't want to go back to Stevenage, which was the league above. You know, I think we were in the top of the tournament.
Yeah, we were sort of third or fourth.
I played six games, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were having a curry on a Thursday night. And to be honest, I shouldn't say this, really. There were 5 or 6 beers, and I drive back up the M1 towards the Dunstable area, later Buzzard, where I live. And I'll be going, I don't want to go back. This is brilliant. So in the end, I start getting me mate to drive me to training.
Yes.
So I could have a few drinks. Like, I couldn't wait to get to training.
Yeah, you want that. That's it.
You know, I just wanted to play for you. Mm. The minute you come in for me at Wimbledon, a nightmare. Obviously, I ripped me quite the shreds.
That was just unfortunate.
In training, but I was, what a club. Mm. You know, I felt that there. When I look back at your period, I felt you felt the pressure a bit.
Yeah.
You put the pressure on the players quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think if you could look back at your time, maybe just a little bit, what you were like at Hendon.
Yeah. I think that's what's, and I'm trying to keep it away from me because it's you.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm around you on match days here, and I'm around you at half time because of the way you do it. I come in and have a cup of tea in your office, just keep myself to myself. But I spoke to my wife this morning because it's a match day and you've agreed to do this. And I said, if I could have had his chilled out the way, if I could have the pills he takes on a Saturday morning, I'd have probably stayed in the game. So you're totally right. And the other thing that, you seem ready for this now.
Mm.
And maybe I wasn't ready that time. It was such a big club with support based on that. And I think you're right. I think if I was back there now at the same time, I'd be totally different about it. But so you do well at Hemel. Let's get back to you. And you go to Billericay. And I'm just trying to, what I'm trying to work into it is where the experience comes from that I lacked when I was at Wimbledon to keep it off the lads, and where you have definitely got it now. It's the experience of each job you have. You go to Billericay, which I thought was madness. You know, and I never get the chance to tell you because you never rang me. but tell me about why you did and a bit about what, never mind the pros, tell me what the cons and the negatives turned out to be.
First and foremost, I like Glenn. I actually like Glenn. The people around them I didn't really like, I'll be honest with you. Why? But I like Glenn.
Why?
Because I knew why they were around them.
Why?
Money. Glenn will tell you that himself. They're just fleecing the poor chap. He's actually a good guy, Glenn. He's got an addiction, which he told me about. And he was very open and honest. Listen, I got a fantastic deal. I can't lie, I got a decent deal. But I like Glenn, and he sold me the dream. And Stu was the same. I really liked him. But when we went into Billericay, the place was poison. Our first training session, I said to Stu, I might walk away now in the first training session.
The dressing room?
The dressing room was absolute poison. And poison. Some of them players are still there.
I don't care if you name names. I don't particularly need you to name names. But you need to elaborate on what that means, poison. I know exactly what you mean, but there'll be people listening to this going, what do you mean by that?
They're all stabbing each other in the back. They'd come have one-on-ones. They'd be all slagging each other off. Just not the way I like to do things. All there for money, which they were. And when I got there, it was 20 or 1,000 pounds a week, the wage bill.
My goodness.
And when I left, it was down under 10 grand. So,
and was that part of your deal to go in?
Yeah, the next year I had a me contract, it was going to be 12 grand a week.
Yeah,
but I wanted that me contract because I'm looking at Glenn, he was giving people fortunes. I'm going to tell you that myself because he's quite a straight geezer. But it was, yeah, it was poison. What we did there, the best bit there, we went 13 unbeaten, we won 10 of 13 games.
What is the team shit, young man?
Well, that's a first. We've had a pause, and it'll be picked up on the mic where the guys come in looking for you to go in to do the team sheet with. So people now know it's game time around about 2 o'clock, which is great, and you're happy to do it, and we know that. But let's get back to where we were, Dino. And it was poison. It was the poison dressing room at Billericay, and I wanted you to enlighten me a little bit on it.
Yeah, it was. People were just there for the wrong reasons and lying to Glenn and just leeching onto him.
They obviously seen you as a major threat then, because
that's what happened. Players got me sacked. You know, Glenn rang me from America New Year's Eve. He was in a rehab centre in America. Oh, worry, I've got your back, blah blah blah. What happened was Dan Groves, me and Glenn got on great, and Dan Groves didn't like it. That's basically what happened.
And Dan Groves,
he's the chairman.
Right.
He was the chairman, was Glenn's so called chairman. And he didn't like it. He's all the lads took a pay cut, which they had to take a pay cut because financially the place was in ruins. It was gone under, basically. So that's what I said. When I become chairman, which I felt to become chairman, I did all the ones-on-ones with the players. I explained to them, look, the money's going down to this. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Glenn wasn't there. Dan Groves was sort of supporting me on it. He'd be in the room as well. And then obviously they think that they're just like, oh, Glenn will keep putting his money in the players. Don't worry, they're holding out and holding out. And that's what used to happen with Glenn all the time. They'd hold out and Glenn would come back and give them more money.
And
it was just a mess.
When I look at your team now, it's young, fresh, enthusiastic. You've got senior players in there, have you learned about having too many of your experienced people in the room, or is it just the wrong people in the room?
Wrong people.
Yeah.
Just the wrong type of player. You know, it's as simple as that, the wrong personalities. And they knew the writing on the wall if I stayed there for them. You know, what we're doing here at Willstown, we went to do a Billericay. We went to start an academy, which was starting a full-time pay academy here at Willstown, which is going to start in September, education programme. Everything we want to do is build an infrastructure of a football club. And we didn't need 20 or 1,000 pounds per week to do that. And them players wanted to keep that £20,000 a week because that's their livelihoods. And I understand that now, maybe a little bit naive myself, but look, it was what it was, and it was a great experience for me. This time last year, I was out of work, basically. Yeah. So,
but they're all experiences. I think it's, you know, nobody gets it right all the time. I think it's about what you get out of it yourself, and you know, and you've definitely learned from it. And again, you and Stu, where you go. And then you went.
It was the best thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. No.
Yeah. No. No. No.
I'll tell you what.
It's your interview.
This time last year, I was so called depressed. The first time probably ever in my life where I was really down. Spent a lot of time with kids. Had a couple of holidays, which was nice, but I missed it. And we did a lot of scouting. Stu and I went to a lot of games, but I was down. I'll be honest.
What is that? What it was? It was the hurt of how you'd been treated.
Yeah. There? Yeah. Because I felt Glenn stitched me. Because I did all the dirty work for Glenn, and I did the honest work. I was always honest with him. I was straight with him. And people that were around them weren't straight. They weren't honest with him. They were waiting for one reason. You know, and I felt he'd done the dirty. He rang me a while ago, actually, Glenn. He left a message. Funny enough, it was Dorking Away. We played Dorking Away. We were playing today at home. And he left a voicemail on my phone saying, give me a call. I'm in Dubai. I want to have a chat with you. Blah, blah, blah. I want to make up with you. So I rang him and a chat with him. And I told Glenn the exact same thing. You've got the wrong people around you. You know, and that's what will always happen to someone like Glenn. You know, there's a great old saying, if you surround yourself with pricks, you become a prick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's the truth. I don't know. You'll probably have to edit that.
No, I don't think we will. I was always taught you become like those you hang around with. It's the same. It's exact. And it is true. And it's funny because your whole voice and face has changed in the last 5 minutes. Your whole demeanor in how you're doing. Because I can tell you're still, all right, you've got yourself out of being dark and depressed, but it's affected you. You're still angry about it.
Yeah, I'm angry with Glenn. Yeah, I am, yeah. And the football club. They were telling me the football club's gone bust, and I managed to get the wage bill down and save them, and then I get sacked for it. And then there's still players there who are still leeching on, you know, and they know who they are, and I've got no time for them. I wouldn't have a good word to say about any of them.
Yeah, so...
But Glenn's gone to Romford, isn't he?
Yeah.
Has any of the players from Billericay gone? They all love Glenn. Apparently they love them. Yeah. None of the players from Billericay have gone, have they?
Yeah.
So why haven't they gone? You give them more money, why haven't they gone?
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, don't need to sell it to me.
They love Glenn, though. Glenn's this, Glenn's that. I love Glenn, I love you. You know, buying each other chains and all this stuff and crosses and...
Nonsense.
But none of them are there.
Yeah.
They're still at Billericay because they manage that in the new chairman. They get themselves contracts.
And is that not? And it's, I think it is something that is a real plus, is when you can identify that. I think it's one thing that I've got in my own makeup is I can identify who's right and who's wrong. Is that something you've always had, or did you learn it out? Where did it come from?
I'm brought up in inner city Dublin. Yeah. You know, I'm from the Dublin 8 area. Just streetwise, you know, if you can't stand your own 2 feet back home, you won't last.
Yeah.
You know what it's like. You're from Belfast, you know, and
that's where it must come from.
And you've grown up in the Troubles.
Yeah, it must come from that because we both have it. Yeah. You know, we both laugh at each other at times when we see people, don't we? We go, nah. Yeah, so...
Can't kid a kid, basically.
Well, that's it. That's exactly what it is. Let's talk a little bit about the dark time, you know, the time you are away and the mood that at home. Tell me a little bit about, because it seems to be on the front cover of every newspaper now, is mental health, and we've touched on it a few times with different managers who have been. Steve Baker was honest. I spoke to Ian. Gary McCann. You know, everybody thinks we're bulletproof, Dino. You know, talk a little bit about how that felt.
Yeah, look, you're snappy with your partner. You know, you just want to be back and around the change room, avoid him, and that's sort of your release. It's dark, yeah. It's you think, am I going to get a job again? Do I have to start all over again? I know I'm a good manager. I know this experience is only going to be good for me. And look, I'm so lucky that Rory Fitzgerald was the chairman. We get on absolute great. What a top guy. And he's a motto in his business. Surround yourself with good people. And if you look at his business, it's very successful.
Yeah.
And that's all he said to me.
Yeah.
You look back at that. You look back at the time I had. Depressing. Definitely,
yeah.
But I was allowed to get to more games, and obviously.
And that's how you get. But then the Kingston thing came up, and in the big picture, people could skip over this period of your career. I don't want to. I want to talk to you about it because we've talked a little bit during the period, but obviously as friends. But tell me a little bit about that. You go in,
similar environment again, not as bad as Billericay, similar environment. Big budget for the level.
Yeah.
Very good people, by the way. Board, fantastic people. Genuine football people. They have a lot to do with the ground and stuff like that. And they've had a particularly good season this year, haven't they, in cup competitions, which is great for them. It's great to see them do well. Just good people. And then obviously I had an absolute nightmare. We didn't have a good enough team. You know, we had players unfit. Obviously there again, once again, financially for the wrong reasons. So it was going to take, stay up, restructure, build again in the summer.
And the dressing room... You felt
not quite... all of it. There was 3 or 4 lads there who weren't good. Not my type of players.
Yeah.
So went in there, good people, genuine people. Didn't have success, to be honest, with any games. I think I managed 4 or 5 games, and it was frustrating, really frustrating. And then my boy got run over, which was just an absolute nightmare.
I think we've time to sort of not go into it in great depth because it's your private life. But let me ask you this. If your boy didn't get run over, how long do you think you'd have been there?
Well, we agreed to do it till the summer, and then we'd reassess it. So I probably would have stayed till the summer and see how we got on. See what the.
So you hadn't really made an opinion of it?
Nah, they just wanted to stay up, make sure they stayed up. And that was sort of the plan. The supporters were great there as well, by the way.
Yeah.
It was really good, friendly club, really nice non-league club. They need a ground badly. They need to get their own ground. They need to get their own cement under them, really. Do you know what I mean? It's so important for them.
Bang for everyone, really.
Yeah, in that area. It's a big area, you know. But they're ambitious people there. They've got a lot of ambition. They probably won't get in the playoffs this year, but...
You know, yeah, so it didn't carry the same sort of, you know, the same sort of poison as Billericay, but there was, you'd identified what needed to be done, yeah?
Straight away, yeah. Yeah, and the board were good. They were good as gold.
And when you... Just as a sidetrack, when you make these decisions... You know, when you know you've now sort of gone, it's time to leave Hamill, Billericay. You get the sack, that's out of your hands. Kingston job's up, I'm going for it. How much does Stuart Maynard have a say in that? Is that I'm going, are you coming, or is it?
No, I told him to stay. So at Kingstonian, I told him to stay. I said, you stay, take up to the end of the season. I'll go look after my family situation, look after me boy. You know, we have to get to school every day and stuff like that. And, yeah. You know, so he said no. He's like a little horse whisperer. He goes around whispering in players' ears. He don't really
stand, it's a great description, by the way.
He don't really stands in front of the group. It's not
No,
him.
It's a great description, though, because it sums him up perfectly. Mm. And it's a massive role, the way he does it.
Sorry, he's a really good guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, Stuart's such
no,
a
No, he is. You just smile. Yeah, Stuart Maynard, you know, you smile. You see him, you smile. You can... I could never hear him slaughter anybody. Although he does from time to time, he's just one of them good son.
He's always got a smile on his face, and he's brilliant for the group. He'd
Energy.
Be a real good cop, and I'd be more the bad cop. I'd be letting people know the bad news.
And he's comfortable as a number. Doesn't want to be a number one.
No, I don't think he wants to be. But then again, he might one day. You just never know. Yeah. You know?
You never want to be a number two, Dino. You know?
Not for me.
No,
you want to make the decisions. You know. It is my decision. It falls my name. I'm the manager. It falls on me. I've always wanted to be a manager. You know, I enjoy the recruitment side of things. I really enjoy the recruitment side of it. I enjoy coaching. I enjoy all of it. I'm lucky to do the job I do. I do a job where I'm lucky.
Yeah.
You know, I love it every minute of it.
Yeah, yeah. You're lucky you feel like that. Give me a shout in about 20 years. We'll see how you are. Although, to be fair with you, I wouldn't be surprised if you still loved it the way you do now. Let's go back, way back. You know, obviously, you... just where the character, and you've a real strength of character. And I'm saying this in an interview, it's not something, you know, we don't blow smoke up each other's backsides, it's not our sort of thing, but it's a real something I always seen about you, your strength of character. So, does that, obviously, we know our backgrounds, where we're both from, but moving away from home, you came over to Sheffield Wednesday, you know, at what age, and talk me a little bit through the how that built you as a character.
I originally signed for Stockport at 15, and I come to with a girlfriend and all that back home, you know, back in Dublin. And I come from where it was old school, all the lads together.
Yeah.
You'd meet up with the girlfriend in the evening, you know what I mean? You know what it was like there. So it was all like, you'd be together in the flats, you know what I mean? So we grew up around the flats. So it was great. We played football all day. And then I went to Stockport, and the last 6 weeks, I couldn't settle at all. So I went back home. And then lucky enough, I got back to England again when I was 17. Just turned 17.
Who were you playing for then? Were you playing at home?
Yeah, I was playing for a team called Lord Celtic, which is in Crumlin. It's up in Sunderland.
Had to have Celtic in it then.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll get that bit cut out. No, go on.
So yeah, I played for them. Niall Quinn come through there. Damien Duff used to play for them in the year above me and stuff like that. So we had some good players. We had a good side. We were in the All-Ireland final quite a bit. Never managed to win it. But we had a really good side. But I got in the Dublin select team, who were playing Sheffield Wednesday, 2 years above my age. So I got in it. I come off the bench and I played quite well. Took seven of us on trial. Alan Quinn, Derek Geary, they both signed as well. Dell's now the under-18 manager at Sheffield United. I don't know what Quinn does now. But both of them went on to have good careers. And Sheffield Wednesday is a fantastic group of players. Unbelievable group of players. We had all the England players.
Once again, a little pause. The chairman's just come in. So, you know, don't make any apologies for pausing for the chairman. Nice guy, actually, Rory. But we'll come on to him in a little bit. You're Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, we'd all the England group, you know. The England captain, under-18. The England captain, under-19. We had Irish internationals, Northern Ireland internationals. We had a fantastic group. A lot of them went on to have careers. So I never really...
Did you settle there then?
No. I was lucky. It was a load of Irish lads there.
Yeah.
You know, Martin McKeever was there. Dave Billington. Martin McKeever was from Derry.
It's Londonderry, by the way, yeah, but go on.
He's on dirty.
Yeah.
But, they bought him for £1 million, him and Dave Billington from Peterborough. He's playing Peterborough's first team. So a really good crop of players. That was broke up for financial reasons. When the club got relegated, they released everybody.
Wow.
And a lot of good players. You know, Lee Bromby come through. So that happened in anyway, financially. I didn't really settle there, but be honest with you, I didn't like England. I never liked it. But when I went back home, and all my friends were who they were, and I thought, I've got to get back to England. Yeah. I can't stay in some world.
Be in trouble.
Yeah, basically. Somewhere. And I had to get back. And so I was there from 17 to 20. I played for Bohemians, for Roddy Collins for 2 games. My ex-UT manager, Ricky Hill, got the job at Luton. He rang me, says, a deal here for you if you're fit. I was straight on the plane into Luton, tiny little airport back in 2000.
Yeah.
So I got a 2-year contract. And from there, I settled, met a girl, had a kid, got married, and I settled in. And I loved it, and I love this part. I love this area where I live. I love it. I would never go back home now. You know,
yeah, so and yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, I came later in life. You know, I was in my 20s when I came over. I was over as a kid, but I think people can't underestimate how difficult it is to come to a different country and settle as a kid. You know, it when you come out the other end of it, it's added something to your bow, and that, you know, it's another string to your bow. So I just wanted to get that in there because people forget that we don't come from this wonderful country that's been unbelievable to both of us, you know. But so, and there's a little sort of break, and we've just seen the chairman come in, and you then the Wilston job comes up, and I remember talking to you at the time, and I think I was blunt and more or less went, you can't mess this one up, or you can't walk away. Well, I didn't put the word, you know, the words you used, but because I felt this was a big club, you'd been given another chance because, you know, you understand in management you don't get many chances. So tell me about when it came up and when you applied and
I think it was a Friday after the playoffs. They've obviously sacked the previous manager, Bobby, who I get on really well with, actually. Always have.
Yeah, and me. He's
a good guy, Bobby. Yeah. And we heard, obviously, they restructured the board and whatever else, and Rory become chairman. And funny enough, Stu's daughter goes to the same school as Rory's kids.
Right.
They're in private school.
Yeah.
Not bad for a BT engineer,
that's
right? Stu's wife is... Our father's in the oil game, but Stu knows what he's doing. He ain't stupid. He's married in all, they're all right. He's
good
done,
lad,
he's
yeah.
He's done well. She won't let me say that. Straight away I said to Stu, and it's funny, we watched, when I was Hemel manager, say Albans played Wheelstone on a wet, windy night, on a Monday night, and we went to the game, and we were in with the Wheelstone fans, and the atmosphere within the supporters was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I said to Stu, imagine we playing air football at that club. We'd be like leading gods. They'd love us there. I'd always, in the back of my mind, I always like Wheelstone. I like coming here as a manager. And and we just blew Rory's phone up, to be honest with you. I was on holiday. Funny enough, I went on holiday then that weekend.
Yeah.
With my kids, went to Spain for a few days. New York or wherever I was, where we went. And I flew back. I said to Rory, I'll fly back. I want the first interview. So we got an interview and I flew back. Me and Stu went the same. Straight away, hit it off with Rory. Top man. And I spoke to Gary McCann, now I was in Paris, he's from the same neck of the woods, from Ladbroke Grove, that area. And I spoke to Gary about him as well, and he said, top man, everyone's saying he's top. But he'd mutual friends, we've all mutual friends, we all sort of knew each other, but didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And he interviewed a lot of people for the job, a lot of good managers, and we got it on merit, I suppose, and we had 2 interviews. And I wasn't to get this job.
Oh, yeah, and I think... Listen, I think at the time, not fortunate, that's the wrong word, but you were in a short list of good names.
My stock wasn't high.
At that time.
I didn't go in and say, I want this, this and this.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, whatever deal they put in front of me, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I just took it. So they got me for cheap. And the rest is sort of history. But I love it. Absolutely love being there.
When you walked in the dress room here, did you, how much?
Well, I inherited 5 players. You know, and heard it. The 2 centre halves we've got at the minute.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper Jonathan North, who's a legend here. We didn't have a big budget. I think the club started -225,000 this year alone. They had to find that before they did anything with the budget.
Yeah.
And a lot of players contacted us, if I'm being honest. The players come on to us. We got straight to work, got on the phone, had meetings, Stu and myself, got our staff together, got it all in place. And I love that side of it. I love the off season, I love the negotiations and negotiating with players. We've been negotiating over £25, you know, because our budget's tight.
Yeah.
We managed to bring in a lot of good players, a lot of hungry players.
But again, that's that 4 games a week stuff where you've lists of players, but you knew what you wanted straight away here.
Yeah.
And got it in quickly.
Yeah. Well, as quick as we could. It was good timing, sort of, for a lot of the players. You know, Ross Lafayette, big character, lives around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, we signed Ross Lafayette for less than half what he was on at Billericay. People, I was talking to Steve King this morning, funny enough. King, he was asking, he took Jack Jebb from us.
Yes.
He's gone to Dartford. And a lad called Noor Hussain, who I had on loan, at Hemel, when he was at Redden, and I tried to sign him. Kingy gave him a bit more money, and I was telling Kingy our wage bill this morning. I was saying, this is the total this week. He's like, no way. I'm telling you, that's what it is. He couldn't believe it. But it's amazing what you can do when people want to join you for the right reasons. And people wanted to come to this club. I think it's been easier to attract players to this club. It's more.
Well, it's easier now.
Yeah.
It's where you are now. But listen, I live around the corner, and Monty's their rivals. I'm very aware.
Yeah.
Oh, they've always been all right. To me, here, I have to say that. You know,
I think the catchment area is good because Stu lives in Watford.
Yeah.
Some of the lads have been at Watford. Connor Smith's been at Watford. We had him with us before. Denon Lewis contacted us. Said he just wants to enjoy his football again. He literally come, sat down with us. We were always in contact with people like Denon because it's sort of our area for Hemel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Recruiting. We always recruit within this area, up to Northampton, over to Aylesbury.
Is that important to you? Travel times for players?
Yeah, big, yeah, it's major. Yeah, it's
a deal breaker?
I wouldn't go for a player that lived over an hour away, that lived miles away, because I want them to be part of the camaraderie of the group. I want them to be able to stay and have something to eat or a cup of tea or a beer or whatever they're into. I want the team spirit. I think it's so important. Team spirit is major for me.
Yeah, and where we are now, put back from a pause again. It's like commercial breaks, physio this time, which is good because people get to know that you know, obviously we're doing it when we're doing it, and I appreciate it. So yeah, you said an hour gives you that after that. Does it? Why more than that?
It's just too far for them to travel around London.
Body ways and energy ways.
Not just that. I want them to be really part of the group, you know, and have a good time. I think it's important that. I think the more you enjoy life, the better the more you get out of people. And I think the lads, to be fair to them, the spirit here is unbelievable. It's one of the best. I had a brilliant spirit at Hemel, great group of lads with Parks and Conley and all them local lads. But they were all local lads. I think that's important. Hawkins was a great lad as well. When you start getting lads, which I've made that mistake I had before, getting lads that are over an hour away, they're just getting in the car and gone.
Yeah.
You don't get to know them personally and stuff like that. And I think that's important, you get to know the lads personally. They want to be here. Look, they understand the boundaries. Work hard, play harder.
Yeah.
That's what I say to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, some people would say, well, that's dinosaur stuff, but it's not. The game's changed and players have definitely changed and how they look after themselves has changed. But I think the team spirit thing is underestimated massively because I've never been successful without it.
Well, Tufty's a great example. You look at Tufty and Sheffield United, they look like they love each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great example. They're all together. The Liverpool lads at the minute, you know, they all look like they probably all go out, their wives and all go out for meals together. You can actually see it.
Yeah.
You can see the camaraderie in the successful teams.
And you know, so we have to approach this. Listen, the season's gone brilliant so far. We're February. You know, it's in your own hands, for want of a better description. How do you, and I don't seem, I haven't seen many changes, well, no change to people's personality in here. And the other thing, just beyond that, because we're in the staff room, you carry a big staff, Dean. You know, is that something you've always done?
Yeah. Cork does the goalkeepers, he's a personal friend of mine, he does it for free. Matty Saunders is a coach now, he's become a coach, he was an ex-player, excellent coach by the way, will go a long way. Yeah. He's going to run the full-time academy as well, so you're going to get a full-time job out of it. Stu then on the periphery as well, Stu does all his bits.
Yeah.
Scouting's our big thing.
Yeah, Gaz as well.
got Kingy as well with us. You know, Kingy's there, he gives us support. What Kingy does well is, because he's experienced, he's 10 years older than me, he can bring you back down to earth a little bit at times and just give you that little bit of experience. So between a lot of us, you know, we get 9 times out of 10, we've got the right
answers. What I'm trying to say is, was that a planned thing, or was it just something that, as it happened, you went, oh, this feels more comfortable? Because, you know, different people, some people work in threes, some people work in fours, some people work in twos.
It's just happened. You know, Matt, he come along, he come as a player originally, and then he said, can I take a couple of warm-ups, going to be coaching? I was like, yeah. And then he showed me he was a good coach, so I was like, I give him more trust. I was like, you take the session tonight. You know, so then I'd say, plan the session around this, this is what we're doing. So he started taking the session, then he said, I don't want to play no more. He said, I'll help you on the coaching staff. That's how that come about. Kingy, I used to play for Kingy, and I've always had a personal relationship with him. He's an Irish man as well. My father are Irish as well. He's got an Irish passport, Dave.
I'm thinking about getting one away, but anyway, it's good.
So Kingy come along and gives us a dig out, you know, and helps us as well, gives us his experience and knowledge. And that just sort of developed like that. We wanted to bring Dimitri Kyrene in as goalie coach. That was stopped. You know, he would ideally be our goalie coach. That was stopped by his chairman. So Cork stepped up and become goalie coach. So he was just helping me on a match day. So
yeah, and I've watched his work together, and you've a real I don't want to word this the wrong way, because I absolutely believe in it. Less is more with you, with the players. I think, you know, I know you obviously have a great relationship, but you keep yourself away from a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't do a team talk. You know, they don't want to hear my voice. You know, they know what they need to do. We worked on things on Thursday. We know how to play against.
So is that your big net?
You
do, like a Friday as a pro, you do it on a Thursday night?
Yeah, we do everything on a Thursday night.
So on match day, because I'm always interested, different people do it different ways, and there is no right, well, this is obviously a right way, the way it's working. So when you arrive on a match day, talk me through.
So I usually arrive around 12:30 match day. So we just get down here, we have a pre-chat. The team's usually selected, you know, gets selected. We try not to select it on a Thursday, you know, because lads can get sick or ill or whatever, and then we select it, make sure everything's all right. Stu sets the warm-up up, and then literally we just chill, watch the horse racing. At the minute, watching the rugby, you know, just stuff like that.
I name the team when?
I write the team on the board. I don't go in and go, number one is
I
write the team in shape on the board. I write some key notes to the game, what we've worked on, just a reminder. All the set pieces are on there. You have your man and you've got a mark. Just really relaxed, really laid back, really relaxed. That's how we do it. And then half time's always big, you know. I will speak at half time and just say, look, well done, this is what, can we do this better, can we do that? So I don't really lose my rag, really, only when the lads don't work hard, because I say to work hard for yourself and your family. First and foremost, yourself, your family are coming to watch you today. Work hard for yourself and your family, and then the rest is for the team. And supporters want to see that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. But I want to rewind it, because there's not many people I've come across who don't name their team and who don't speak before the game. So people who listen to this and go, really? I understand it. I get it. But, well, I don't care if I get it. Have a look at the league table. I'd be saying if I was you, you know. But is that something you've always done, or is it something that came here? Where did that come from?
It's just experience now. You know,
but when did it start? When you started at Hemel, when did it change?
Yeah, at Hemel, I just speak, really. Stu don't speak in front of the group. I just say, look, listen, today we're up against the crack. You know what I mean? This is their philosophy. Do what we're good at. You know what I mean? They're weak here or whatever. Yeah. It'd just be something really simple, really basic. Just keep it. Yeah. Footballers ain't the most intelligent, are they? And we've both been footballers.
We're right.
The minute you start rabbiting on, I've been in change rooms where managers will go, do you want to say something? Then he says something. And all of a sudden, you're just drifting away.
Yeah.
You know, and we stop video sessions. I send the lads on a Friday, I'll send them clips of the opposition. But as well as that, I send them ergo clips. So I'll say, remember, this is what's got us here. You know, so every Friday I'll do that about lunchtime.
And do you get feedback off the guys? Because that sounds excellent. Well,
the lads have written on the board, and the managers walked in, their managers walked in and gone, this is a shithole. They've written on the board, not me. That's motivation for them. Now we'll see what the result's going to be today. These are a good side, Dorking. Yeah. But, you know, when we went to Chelmsford, Rod did an interview and said, in the mud, we won't do well in the mud. that was put on the board by the players. So when you've got characters like Jerome McKim or the skipper, Ross Lafayette, you know, that's their character. They're saying, listen, they're saying we're rubbish.
And so you've got yourself this stage now where there's nothing saying.
Yeah, no, they...
As a group,
So we've got a committee. So players' committee is Ross Lafayette, Danny Green and Akeemo. Everything goes through them. Yeah. Everything. If they want to do us, there's one stop on away days, they select the stop. They skill the changing room.
But I mean, I'm talking about pre-match. Yeah. Teams on the board, set pieces, little sayings. So you can have one to ones, but you don't do the, right, today we're this and we're that. It just...
Nah, so I'll go out, we'll use up, because we're doing the interview, I'll usually go out about 2:30.
Yeah.
So and just chat to the lads in the warm-up individually. You're up against him today because I've got that team selection. He's all right foot. He's this. So just give him little pointers. Yeah. You do what you're good at. You make sure you run them the other way. So just little things like that.
I like this, you know, because this is... I got a little bit like in the Chertsey where I said my bit and was out of the dressing room in 10 minutes. You know, I did name the team and then I did say my little on the hope of glory because that was... And then everything else, get on with your job. So I like it, but I just wanted, it's different, or if I say it's different from what I've heard, and maybe we'll find that the other people do it.
What we do pre-game day, we'll have a quick huddle, just a quick one, and I'll just remind the lads, this is our DNA, remember what's got us here, pre-season, remember the runs we did, now we've got to go through it all again, and just remind them, you know, and then to get a clean sheet, I'll give them a case of beer. Clean sheet to get a case of beer after the game, or they drink Bournemouth, so we travel them in Bournemouth.
Yeah, and from that we look at how the season's going, and you're now, and I said a little while ago, you know, it's in your own hands. How do you? What's your thoughts on getting it done? I don't mean getting it done. I fancy you to get it done. I think you fancy yourself to get it done, win the league. But what I mean by that is, and if you say one game at a time, I'll hit you with something. What's your game plan from here to the end of the season?
Points total.
Yeah.
So I do a pledge with the lads in pre-season, a week before the season starts. We have a little drink. And we've all went Camden this year because we'd nowhere to go. Usually we go away.
So, I'm coming next year, by the way.
Yeah, you can come. I think we're going to go Norwich, actually, in pre-season. So we go away. I say to the lads, look, this is our pledge. I'm setting you a points target. It's, do you agree with it? You've got an hour to think about it. Can you reach that points target? So we reach for the moon. If we get the stars, we're laughing. And that's what we've done. And so literally, every time I text them, I do a group text every Sunday. It'll be # points target, the amount. I won't say what it is.
No, it doesn't.
So if we get it, look, if we definitely get it, we should be in the title. You know, having to have to win every game.
Yeah.
And I can't knock out slow either. No,
but what I mean, that's brilliant. Love it. So, you knew, it's a football saying for a reason, but it really is one game at a time, isn't it? One half at a time, virtually, you know?
Yeah, one scenario, you know, just move on to the next. And we don't get too low when we lose, and we don't get too high when we win.
And it's that, what I'm trying to get at is, how do you keep them, the energy and the appetite and the, you know, because it can be tiring being top of the league.
Yeah, I'll say to them, look, win and get a clean sheet today, you have Tuesday off. Yeah. So I'll give them little incentives, little carrots like that.
Group rotation, like team rotation? No,
not really. These are a young group, they're a fit group. We've trained really hard because we haven't played for 2 weeks. But our training is really intense, really hard.
Does it worry you the first 20 minutes of this game then? Not that you ever look that worried about anything.
I think this will be our most difficult game.
Because of the 2 weeks off?
Not really, just the way they play. They play really open, really attack-minded, and they can cut through you. They've got ability. They've got a lot of players. You've got good resources, Mark, and he's done a fantastic job there. I think today will be a really difficult game for us. And down there, we should have won. We were 2-0 up at half-time. We should have been more comfortable. We didn't win in the end. It was 2-2. They could have won the game. But they stick to their beliefs. And he did an interview the other day, and he was playing Oxford, and he was talking about us. So and they went and beat Stockport 4-0. So I can see these having a real go with us today, and it'll be a difficult game. And he plays 3-5-2. It's a total different formation. And we play 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, whatever you want to call it. So it's going to be a difficult game. I think it'll be a real difficult game.
I think you've got that for the rest of the season now, that everybody can't wait to play. You're in that. You're the big boys, and
we've been top for 26 weeks.
So you're nearly used to it.
Yeah. So there's 10 Saturdays left, so we're sort of used to it now.
And I'm just trying to get into your head a bit about nerves. I was always negative. I would always be worried to death. You know, and you've never shown that. You know, you've
always... don't speak negative though. Never, yeah. Ever.
No, but you can think it.
Yeah. But listen, if the player doesn't do the business, he'd be replaced. That's how simple it is. That's the business we're in. How do we improve? I've got to get better players to improve. You know, if I bring a better player, Michael Phillips has been outstanding for us. He's back in the team today because Ashley Charles is injured. Ashley Charles sat on the bench, rode the bench. He come in against Welling. We won the last four on the bounce. Michael Phillips had to ride the bench. He was suspended. So he hasn't started the last two games, but he has probably been one of our best players this year.
Yeah.
He's back in today. It might be, the bar keeps getting raised.
But you make them aware of that?
Because if you do well, you stay in the team. I don't have no favourites. Like Moses has come in. Ross Lafayette's our top goal scorer. He's on the bench.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. I was here a few weeks ago.
And Momo's come in because Ross had an injury. No, tell a lie. Ross was away with work. Missed the game. Mo come in, played brilliant. Stays in the team.
And so
there's no favourites.
No, I get that, but you must have to sell that. You must have to speak to Ross and go, look, here's what the deal. Is that your man? That's your relationship.
Yeah,
that's
right. So Ross comes on against Billerick, he scores two. So he gives me the headache. that's success.
And would he come in and go?
No, he hasn't because he knows Mo's been brilliant as well. Yeah. So unless we play the two of them up front together. You know, and Billy's raised his game. Like, Jebby come out of the team. Jebby's gone on, he's moved on. Jack Jebby's moved on to Darford now. He's come out of the team. He didn't feel he'd get back in because Billy's been outstanding. So when I brought Jebby in, Billy started playing better again. You know, in the eight role, eight stroke 10, he plays. So all of a sudden, everyone's up that game.
Yeah.
You know, they've all had a little, apart from the two
centre-halves. But listen, you say that. But they don't up it on their own. They're nurtured into helping it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at, is the mindset that you and the staff set. Yeah. Nurtures that. That isn't something they do. Listen, I've been around footballers long enough to know that that's not how they think. But you can nurse them. So you've nursed them between the senior players in the dressing room, between how you are as a staff. But that's where you've got it now, where everybody knows they have to step up one.
Yeah, and they want to be part of this group. That's the way we play.
Let me ask you this. Does that include your staff?
Yeah, I'll have a go more at Stu than anybody else. Because he stands up and watches the games. I sit down and watch it. And if he ain't managing the game constantly, telling players time, torn out, getting the line high, you know, when the ball goes back, we've got to get out of the box. So I'll be like, come on, Stu. Like, if you're going to stand there, you manage the game for the players. You know, so I'll have more goals at him than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because he's got really good football intelligence. And sometimes he can drift away a little bit. So it keeps him on his toes as well. But yeah.
So, because I suppose you need them to step up because they need you to step. So,
yeah.
It's self.
We're all in it together, you know. We all have a little role to play. But years ago, I used to take the warm. I used to do everything. Warm, everything. Now I've just, listen, you know. And Stu's got better at coaching. It wasn't his strong point. Recruitment's his real strong point. But he's got better. He's got more experience. Him and Matty Saunders now do the warm-up. So, there's little things there. There's more trust.
Yeah.
You just let people get on with their job.
I agree with you. If I take it back, and we're coming towards the end, and I appreciate it. The time that we've done this at, as you know.
Right.
Dean Brennan, the player that not walked in at Hendon with me, let's go back a few years before that. Dean Brennan that walked into, let's say, Luton. If Dean Brennan, the manager, was in the dressing room, what would they think of each other?
Wouldn't last. He'd be gone. Too lazy. I'll be too
yeah,
lazy.
Yeah, so this is Dean Brennan, the manager, to Dean Brennan, the player, would be what?
Yeah. I was just more professional, and as a manager, I'm way more professional.
If you were talking to him, if Dean Brennan was sitting down,
I would say, and you were getting
rid of him or you were keeping him, what would he be?
I would turn around and say to him, if you can't get to every line and you're going to cheat, you're just not going to be for me. Because I'd be the one that would be turning 2 yards and doing a doggy 2 yards before the line.
Yeah.
But I could run, though. I could actually run as a player.
Yeah.
I could get around, and when I was fit, I was at my best. You know, and the only way I could play football is being fit.
His career wouldn't have been long on, do you? Is that what you're saying?
Unless he got to the line every time.
But
I see Billy a lot in me. Billy's very similar to me, Billy Clifford.
Yeah.
I said him and Greeny, if you two can run, all we want you to do is run. Get to the line, don't cheat. Just do it. So he's an ability player. I was an ability player as well. So that's how I treat Billy.
Yeah.
You know, and I was similar, to be honest with you. Would I have lasted if I was cheating? And talking out of skill, which sometimes I couldn't do as a player, I had too much to say. It wouldn't last.
And what about the player?
What about me? No, not the team. It's all about the team.
Yeah, what about the player that walks in? What would you have thought of the manager? Dean Brennan, the manager.
Great manager.
It's 2 minutes short, but that that'll do. You know,
nah, look, what do you think? Fair and honest.
Would you like him? Because to be fair, you'd have been pushing him, which Brennan at that time.
What I said to myself as a player when I become manager, I'd always be honest, be straight. If someone comes in, like we've had clubs come in for players, I tell them straight away. I found out when I was at a club, I won't say what club, QPR came in for me, bid on the table for me. And I found that out years later.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I'll never let that happen to a player. So when someone comes in, I give the player the choice. Do you want to stay? This is what we have for you. This is what you have at this home. But if you want to go somewhere else. So I would just always be honest with the players. I think that's very important. The minute you start lying and telling lawyers, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
They'll see through you. My love.
No, I agree. We're just coming up to 1 hour exactly. And I want to close it. One for you. I was going to do it later in the season, but because of the weather and we had to cancel one and you've come up trumps.
Substitute.
Yeah, you're off the bench. But we wanted you later in the year. But we'll maybe come back and get the whole people involved with it if you want it. Thanks.
No problem, Dave.
And
great to see you. No doubt we'll have a beer. Win, draw, or lose. Yeah.
I desperately hope you do okay now. But Dean Brennan, thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Come on. Lovely.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.